Good morning. If I could have Cody and Al, would you mind helping collect the offering? I'm going to pray one more time. There's no such thing as too much prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the blessings of this church, for the blessings that we have. Help us to use them well. In your name we pray. Amen. So, a couple of announcements. Just a reminder that we are having a special general meeting June 10th after church to vote on the senior pastor. So if you can be there, June 10th, directly after church, Pastor John Drisner from the district, the superintendent, will be here. He's actually going to preach that day, so it should be really interesting. I'm really excited to hear him preach. So John will be here. He'll run that meeting. That will be June 10th after church. If you can't be here, please talk to myself or a board member, which are Al, Cody, Bernard, and Donalda. You can talk to any of them or to me if you need to vote beforehand. Second announcement. Took me a second. June 3rd, we are having baptisms, and we are going to do a barbecue and baseball. So if you would like to help with either of those things, with the barbecue or the baseball, I know Kathy is looking, I think Kathy's still looking for some equipment for baseball, and we always need food for these barbecues. So barbecue, baseball, if you'd like to help with either of those, talk to Donalda or Kathy or Tasia. Father's Day. Always forget one. Father's Day, we're going to do a quick little lunch. Should be just some nice pancakes and breakfast kind of foods for the men. So if you'd like to help with that, also talk to Donalda or Tasia. With all that said, children, you are dismissed to follow Beth wherever she is in the back wearing colors for the first time in a month. Her dress is so pretty. It's really colorful. I like it. Oh, did she? I don't remember anymore. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. I'm just so grateful for this family, that we are one family in you, that nothing can separate us from your love, and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter who we are or where we are or where we've come from. Lord, help me to speak your truth today. Help us to have ears to hear your word and to have it affect our lives, to change us radically. In your name we pray, amen. So, I'm excited. PowerPoint? Awesome. I'm excited because I get to pick on somebody today. Hey, Izzy. No. I have a question for you. How do you know the sky is blue? Okay, I know you can see it. How do you know it's blue? How do you know it's blue? Because you all decided the sky was blue. Okay, actually that's the right answer. Because we all decided the sky was blue. So, the fact is, something I'm learning, is that parents spend hours and hours and hours and hours trying to teach their kids the difference between blue and red and green and yellow and orange. Right? You put all of these hours in to try to teach your kids colors and letters and numbers. The fact is, we only know things because somebody else told us. We all decided the sky was blue. And most of the time, if you ask a kid, why is the sky blue, especially little ones, they'll probably answer you, I just do. I just know that. They assume that it's natural. You put in all these hours to teach them something, and they think they just know it. I mean, that's kind of typical of kids anyways. Not always the most grateful people. I wasn't. They think that they possess this knowledge of their own ability. But the truth is, knowing things for certain is really difficult, right? To know something, you actually have to learn it again and again and again and again until it sticks in your brain. And you know, the Bible is really aware of this problem that people forget. People forget everything. Today, I forgot where I put my keys and I spent literally an hour trying to find them. They were in my pocket. Lots of the Bible talks about how people can remember things, how people can know things. In fact, the first three chapters of the Bible talk about who can know what and why it's important, right? God can know everything, people can't, and that's how it should be. The whole first three chapters are about that. And if you look at the Bible, there are lots of instructions for people to remember, to know things. But this is where it gets weird. Because we were taught, most of us, to use the scientific method, right? That you know something if you can see it, and it's the same the next day, and it's the same the next day. You know, you go outside, you look at the sky, it's blue, that's nice. Next day, you go outside, you look at the sky, it's blue, that's nice. Repeat that 1,000 times, and then you can know something. If you can see it, it's true. The Bible doesn't really work like that. Instead, the Bible teaches that rituals are how people can best know things. That rituals and rites are the best way for people to learn. I'm going to mess that word up at least once today. It's only by ritualizing something important that people actually get it into their hearts and their heads. So for the next 2 weeks, we are going to look at the most important rituals in the Bible. Communion this week and baptism next week. There are lots of rituals in the Bible, but these two are the only ones we still follow today in the Pentecostal church. While everything else has fallen to the wayside, these two rituals, baptism and communion, have stood the test of time. And that's for a really important reason. So first, what is a ritual to you? To me, when I think of a ritual, I think of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. There's this priest there, and he's chanting and screaming really loud, and everyone's watching him to see what he does. And he's just screaming and screaming and screaming, and everyone's just following into this fever pitch. Or I think of those monks who chant under their breath as they walk down the street in old medieval times. Those are both really bad images. Honestly, Hollywood really distorts the idea of ritual. Instead, a ritual is a normal practice that is strategically deployed. That's all it is. A normal practice that is used strategically. So, teaching your kids colors is a ritual. You sit down with them again and again until they know the difference between red and blue. What is the normal practice of playing a game with your child is strategically deployed so that they learn something. And this happens all the time in the Bible. Normal practices that the Israelites did every single day were given symbols so that people could learn important ideas, so they could know them. For example, Passover is actually just a barbecue. That's all it is. It's just a big outdoor barbecue where all the men stood around cooking meat and talking about nothing. The festival of Passover was a ritual celebrating God passing over the Israelites in Egypt, right? The Israelites had been slaves in the country of Egypt, and God sent a plague to punish the Egyptians. Anyone who believed in God would sacrifice a lamb and paint the blood on the door, and those houses were passed over by God's avenging angel. Every other family lost their firstborn son. That's a big deal, right? God protected their children. Their firstborns were saved. So to make sure people didn't forget, because people forget everything, God instituted the ritual of Passover. Once a year, everyone was collecting the spring barley harvest. And while that was happening, the Israelite people would come together and they would sacrifice lambs. The whole city would come together and they would kill lambs, drain their blood, cook them over a fire, and then eat together in remembrance of God. So if you look at pictures, they still do it today, the Samaritans do, and it's literally just a bunch of guys around a fire pit cooking lamb and sitting there and chatting while they wait for their meat to cook. It's really great. It's just a big barbecue. You know, we're going to have a barbecue tonight, and I'm going to remember this. The difference between Passover and what they normally did to cook their food, there wasn't a big one. There wasn't a huge difference. It was something they did all the time. The point was that when they did Passover, they'd remember God, so that every other time they cooked food, they would remember God. Normal practice that is strategically deployed. You know, if you play games with your kids and show them red and blue, eventually they start to know their toys are different. And you might ask how any of this has to do with communion, right? Why does it matter? Why do we even have to do these rituals, to be honest? Why do we do communion once a month? All we do is eat a cracker and drink some juice and call it a day. Could we maybe just cut the workout? Is it enough to just know what communion is? Well, no. Actually, the Bible is really clear that knowing a ritual isn't the same as understanding a ritual isn't the same as actually knowing it. To know a ritual, you have to do it. Often in the church, when we talk about communion, we actually just spend a sermon breaking down the symbols. Next slide, please. We do this, right? We talk about how the blood represents life. We talk about how the bread is suffering. And it's supposed to be lamb, but it says Jesus. That the lamb represents something innocent. Like we sit there and we pick it apart so we know what all the symbols mean and what they all do. And that's good, but it's not enough. See, the Bible teaches that doing something is just as important as understanding it. And that makes sense when it comes to how we learn. You know, you could spend 10 years learning all that there is to know about the theory of music. You could know every chord, every scale, every triad. You could know how every note resonates with every other note. But if you never picked up a guitar and actually played a song, you wouldn't know what you're doing. You know, someone spends 10 years practicing versus someone who spends 10 years reading a book and you ask them to have a competition. I know who my money is going down on. Not the guy who's been reading books. Or rock climbing. You can't learn how to rock climb unless you actually go and do it. When I was at Vanguard, I had to learn Hebrew. And as much as I love it now, you guys know I talk about Hebrew all the time, when I first did it, I sucked at it. I was awful. We had to learn about 500 words in 14 weeks. And I thought I was being clever. I made an app to put on my phone that was flashcards. So it would have my Hebrew word on one side and the English word on the other. And I thought, oh, if I have these cards on me all the time, I can study all day in between stuff and it'll be really good for me. And I started to fail. And I started to do really poorly. And I got angry. I got frustrated. So one day I went to my professor's office and I said, look, I'm going to fail this class. I need your help. I need a better way to study these words. I cannot remember them. I don't know them. You know, I do the flashcards and I can get through it, but I don't know the words when I go to do the test. And his idea really confused me. He said, stop doing 3 hours a day of practice. That's not going to help you. What I want you to do is I want you to take some cardstock and I want you to write the Hebrew word on one side and the English word on the other. And I want you to only spend 30 minutes 30 minutes every morning without fail. This is how many words I had to remember. Oh, thought I was gonna hit Casey in the head. Sucked. Yeah. I had to memorize all of these words. When I started making it a ritual, when I started making it a practice that I did every single morning, I started to get ahead. In fact, I ended up having the highest mark in the class because I did what the professor told me. We learn best when we make something a habit. Just knowing what things mean isn't enough. Making something a habit that we do all the time helps our brains to learn. And it makes a lot of sense in terms of the Bible, right? Because that's what it teaches about faith. It's not enough to say we believe in Jesus. We have to act out that we believe in Jesus. If our faith isn't lived out, our faith is called dead. Not worth anything. If we just show up to church on Sunday mornings and warm some seats, that's not honoring God. Our whole worldview has to change, like stepping onto the shore of a new reality. And that's true. When you live out your faith, you see things differently. I know for me, when I started to actually live out my faith and not just say it, I understood why God is so obsessive about the needy and the poor and those who can't speak for themselves. You know, one of the things never used to bother me, bothers me all the time now, when I see people park in handicapped spots when they're not handicapped. And it bothers me because I know that God has called us, God's called humanity, not just the church, He's called humanity to love those who need help. And when I see that, it just drives me nuts because it shows people not honoring God, not honoring each other. So one more question. What kind of ritual is communion? The answer is that it's a ritual of a ritual. Like one of those Russian nesting dolls, or like Inception, but with crackers. Dan got it.
Yeah.
The first communion happened during the Feast of Passover. Most of us know this. The feast we talked about earlier. And while all the men were having this big outdoor barbecue, Jesus and his disciples went to a house to go eat their meal. He took the bread, which is the symbol of suffering, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you." He then broke the bread and divided it amongst his disciples. They took the wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," the symbol for life. See, communion is just a continuation of Passover. It's not something that Jesus started completely by himself. It's him fulfilling what was already there. Instead of a ritualized barbecue during a grain harvest, we have ritualized supper that can be performed anywhere, at any time, by anyone who believes in Jesus. And see, Jesus did this because he was really smart. He knew that not everyone collected barley in spring and liked to eat lamb. Unlike me, I love lamb. Literally, if you come over to my house, I will cook you lamb. It's delicious. Try it. But he knew that that wasn't the norm for everyone who was going to hear about the gospel. Not everyone has a harvest. Not everyone has to kill their own animals, unless you're a farmer out here. Everyone has to sit down for a meal at some time, whether it's prepared by them or somebody else. This was making Passover more accessible. Not just that, there's more to it. Because while Passover was to remember God protecting the Israelites from judgment, communion is for us to remember Jesus protecting us from judgment. Right? He died in our place. Instead of us dying, God passed over us. Jesus says, every time the communion shows up, do this in remembrance of me. He says to remember him, that he was afflicted, mocked, ridiculed, beaten, rejected for us. So keep him in our memory. Know him. You know, soldiers sometimes will pour out another glass for comrades who've fallen. They pour out another place for someone that they've lost. Or sometimes when someone will lose a child, they won't touch their room to remember them, to keep them close. And communion is one of the few times, very, very few, that Jesus asks us for something for himself. He wants us to remember his sacrifice, that he died in our place, that he loved us. By eating a meal in honor of Jesus, we see something more. Hey, Cody, would you mind grabbing the kids from the kitchen? Thank you. Jesus' death affects us now. That it protects us from our judgment now. Right? It's not just something that happens in our past. We don't just say we believe in Jesus, we get baptized, we come up, and then we never have to worry about it again. The truth is, we still sin. We still fall short. And we still need that once and perfect sacrifice for all that we've done wrong. Jesus wants us to know that. Not to guilt us, not to make us feel ashamed, but so that we remember how much he loved us. That he didn't have to go to that cross for us, but he chose to. Chose to. Everything we are is a new creation in Jesus. But, and there's always a but, communion is extremely dangerous. And I wish I could give this talk every time we talked about communion. This is what the Bible says. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment upon themselves. See, if the ritual of communion is to honor Jesus, then it has power, right? Physical actions have spiritual consequences. That's what the Bible teaches. So we have to be careful. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, gives this warning. What he's trying to remind people is this. To examine yourself means to examine not where you're at or whether you're sinning in terms of yourself, but whether you're sinning in terms of your relationship to other Christians. See, if Passover was to remember Jesus' sacrifice, then we have to remember that that sacrifice was for more than just us. Are we treating others in the church with love and respect and compassion? Are we always willing to help those in need? Do we assume that people will do good? Or do we assume that everyone's out to get us? And I think this is something we're getting better at as a church, to be completely honest. When I see our church, I see this growing spirit of unity and compassion and hope for one another, and I love that. You know, me and George were just talking at the door about how we want to be so welcoming to people who come in. I think that's awesome. Second, discern the body of Christ. This is something Paul talks about in his letter, and I don't want to get into it too much, but basically, it means this. Are you recognizing that those in the church represent Christ himself? Do we extend every love and compassion and blessing that we would if Jesus was in the room to all of those in the body of Christ, in the church? Are we treating others as if they're actually our brothers and sisters. I mean, in my case, I have to treat them better than I treat my brothers and sisters. I love them, but they drive me nuts. One of the things I'm starting to realize is that in the church, trust is not earned. And I hear that a lot, right? You have to earn trust. You have to earn trust. The Bible talks about it that if we're Christians, if we're believers, our yes should be yes and our no should be no. We should be able to trust each other just based on the sacrifice of Christ. And that's really hard. We have to assume, until proven wrong, that other Christians are acting out of love. That they are representing Jesus well. And if we fail to examine ourselves, the Bible says that the consequences are catastrophic. Many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died. When we take communion in a sinful, unserious manner, we risk judgment not just upon ourselves, but all of our brothers and sisters. This illness is for our sake, the Bible says. People get sick and die when they take communion wrong, because when we are being judged in this way, we are being disciplined so that we are not condemned with the world, pushing back onto the right path. So be careful when you take communion. If you aren't treating others in the church as if they are your brothers and sisters in Christ, not only are you risking judgment on yourself, you're risking judgment on everyone else. And understand, that sounds really harsh. I'm not asking anyone to be perfect. I'm not saying that we go without sin, because we're going to mess up. The question is, are we striving to treat others as we would treat Christ? To the best of our ability, with all of our heart, with all of our intent. See, communion is an important ritual that honors the death of Jesus our Lord. It's a common practice of eating together that is strategically employed to remind us. To remind us that we are all a family, that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we each deserve respect and love and trust simply on the merit of Jesus' sacrifice, that we are new creations and we deserve a second chance. We must learn to act as one body working together, because he is the way and the truth and the life. So, before we end, before we get to communion, I'm going to ask the band to come up and play one more song. And while they do, the lyrics aren't going to be on the screen. Instead, we're going to keep that up there. And, you know, if you know the lyrics and you want to sing, by all means, but this is going to be a time of reflection. You know, reflect on our relationships with those who believe, reflect on how we treat one another, whether we're in the place to take communion or not. So I'll leave it to the band. Thank you. If I could get Al Board to come up, and a few ladies would mind coming up and helping. If you are not a believer, if you're not a Christian, then don't take up communion, because it's to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. If you are, and you feel like you haven't been treating your brothers and sisters in Christ well, then pass over the communion. Don't take it this time. And strive to do better for next month. And if you're a believer and you feel like you're in right relationship with those who know Jesus, then let's remember Christ today. For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to each and every one of you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we remember you. We know you. We are so honored by your love. We are humbled by it. No words can express our gratitude and our hope. Help us to live differently. Help us to be new creations. Help us to be filled with your Spirit. Let us be the salt of the earth and a light on the hill to Rokenville. Let people know that this is the place where God reigns, that this is the place where you are remembered. Judgment has skipped over us. Help us to let it skip over others, to bring others to your all-powerful blood, to your broken body. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys all for coming today. You have a blessed long weekend. Amen.